Good morning, everybody. We are continuing, as my dad said, with our sermon series, Last Words on Death Row. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a Bible character named Stephen. But before I get there, I can recall many moments in my life where something has transpired, an interaction with someone or a group of people. And, you know, you look back on how you handled the situation and you think, sure, I didn't respond very well to that. You know, I didn't respond. We as Christians say, I didn't respond in a very Christ-like manner. And I think my natural instinct is to let the ugliness or the resentment or the frustration, the anger well up so quickly rather than actually allowing myself to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Just a few weeks ago, I was faced with a situation where I'd made a decision. And it was around an event that I was leading, and I'd made the decision. And another HOD from another department decided to change it and didn't let me know. And I was unaware, completely unaware. It was about 2 weeks before this event. And I ended up only finding out the day before. And as you can imagine, I was frustrated. I was quite angry. And I'm so grateful that I actually didn't respond in person. Because what was in my heart, if I look back, the response in my heart, the immediate response that I had inside, internally, wasn't very Christ-like at all. And you know, my desire as a born-again believer, someone that has crossed the line of salvation, crossed the line of faith, my desire is for my response to be Christ-like, is for my response to be led by the Holy Spirit. But it's not always the case. In fact, I'm sure we've all been in those situations where we've been faced, be it a moment of pressure, be it an argument with someone or an interaction with someone difficult or a group of people that's really difficult. And we look back on how we handled it and we think, well, sure, I didn't handle that very well. We know in our hearts, you know, Jesus would have responded very differently. But when it comes to it, when it comes down to it, man oh man, is it quite difficult to actually do, to quite... It's quite difficult to be led by the Holy Spirit in those interactions, the way we respond to those people. We, in our hearts, we want to forgive, but we end up just what's inside just comes out. We want to speak life, but instead we react. We want to trust God, but we actually end up panicking. And the gap between who we want to be and who we end up being, how we want to respond and how we end up responding, I'm sure if you think about it, it's something we all faced with. And so the question this morning before I look at Stephen is how do we actually live like Christ? Not just in theory up here, but actually in everyday moments, the moments that matter, how do we live like Christ? Or actually, maybe the issue for us this morning, for some of us here, is rather not that we don't know how to live like Christ, it's that we're actually trying to do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I'm going to be tackling this subject. Living like Christ, having a relationship with Christ, requires the Holy Spirit. Now, we first get introduced to Stephen in Acts chapter 6, but for those that have grown up in a church or you've been exposed to church environments, you know, you often... Though it's not the case, we often see some Christians as like elitist Christians. You know, they're next level. I mean, they got a special type of relationship with Jesus, man. They're on fire always, just the way they pray. I wish I could be like that. And I mean, this is Stephen. We first get introduced to him where the early church is experiencing a bit of an issue, a logistical problem, where they're growing so rapidly. I mean, 3,000 added in one day. They're growing so quickly that the apostles, the disciples, couldn't keep up with the growth. They couldn't facilitate and lead ministry and wait and serve on tables. And so they choose 7 men, and Stephen is one of them. And the Bible introduces Stephen in this way. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is your so-called next-level Christian. But every verse that speaks about Stephen and what he did speaks about how he spoke with such a God-given wisdom, a godly wisdom, that actually no one could argue against him. No one could say anything to counter-argue what he was saying. That the truth that he spoke was directly from God through the Holy Spirit. And he performed great signs and wonders, and he boldly proclaimed the gospel. These are the short verses that speak about Stephen leading up to what we're going to be tackling this morning. But eventually, persecution arose, and the religious leaders of the day decided, no, we're not going to catch this guy. We can't argue against what he's saying. We're going to make some false accusations against him. So they stirred up a couple of people, and they started making false accusations against him. And the accusations were blasphemy against the law, blasphemy against the law of Moses, blasphemy against the temple, speaking about the destruction of the temple and how it's no longer a building, it's no longer important. And basically, these religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, haul him. They arrest him, and they drag him to the high priest. And the high priest eventually asks him, well, are these accusations true? And here, basically, the whole of Acts chapter 7, do yourself a favor, go and read it. It's quite incredible. It's his defense. I mean, three-quarters of the chapter, probably five-sixths of the chapter, are basically his defense, where he, in a very short summary, summarizes the first couple of books of the Bible. And in so doing, he actually, through the help of the Holy Spirit, uses it to call out sin in these religious leaders' life. I mean, he says to them, well, you just like the Israelites. If you go and read the first couple of books of the Bible, God had given them the law. He had laid out their way to live. He had been with them. He had helped them. He had protected them. He had set them free from slavery, and yet they continued to rebel. And he says, well, you're exactly the same as them. And now these are the same people that crucified Jesus, you can imagine. This didn't go very well for Stephen. But if you look at it, I don't think I can be very honest. I don't think I live with that same level of confidence as Stephen. Here, the same individuals that brought Jesus before Pontius Pilate and said, no, he's blaspheming, and they called out for Barabbas to be set free and Jesus to be crucified. Here he is staring a death sentence straight in the face, and he's spurring them on by what he's saying. He's saying, well, you're unchanged, you're uncircumcised in heart, you're stiff-necked. He's spurring them on. I mean, he's staring a death sentence straight in the face. And there are a couple of statements that we're going to look at this morning, right at the end of his life. The first one is found in Acts 7, verse 55 to 56. Now, what I've just said has transpired, and he's said his speech, and he's called them out on their sin. And now they're spitting mad. They're fuming, they're angry, they're gnashing their teeth, the Bible says. But in Acts 7, verse 55 to 56, it says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now this statement was ultimately what the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say. This ultimately caused them to grab him, drag him out of the city, and begin to physically stone him to death. But here's Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit, and he's having his spiritual eyes open to see something incredible. Not many people get to see heaven open and see the glory of God and see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. In fact, Moses asked in the book of Exodus to see the glory of God, and God said, no, those that see my face cannot live. This is a man that knew his time had come, yet he's full of the Holy Spirit. He's having his spiritual eyes open to see such an incredible picture, and yet those around him, those stoning him, completely missed it. Their spiritual eyes are blind. They're deaf to the spiritual truth that is taking place here. My first point this morning is what we look to shapes how we live. Stephen was a man who clearly looked to Jesus constantly. He had Jesus at the forefront of his mind, at the forefront of everything he did. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, his spiritual eyes were opened. I don't believe just in this instance. I believe Stephen's spiritual eyes were opened on a daily basis to be able to see where God was at work in his life and in those lives around him. That's why he was able to boldly proclaim the gospel. Maybe not in on an orange box with a megaphone on the side of the road, but in the way he prayed upon people and there was healing. Signs and wonders were performed. He boldly proclaimed the gospel. The Holy Spirit, friends, helped Stephen fix his eyes on Jesus. He was able, through the help of the Holy Spirit, as he imitated Christ, to keep his eyes fixed despite what was going on around him. And if you hear this morning, we need our spiritual eyes to be open on a daily basis, to see where God is at work in us, to see where God is at work around us. Because living like Christ, living in relationship with Christ, is going to require more of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not so sure. You've never encountered Jesus. You've never encountered the Holy Spirit. You're hesitant. I want to encourage you this morning. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not some mystical force. He's not going to treat you like a puppet. He's not going to make you do anything you do not want to do. But the Holy Spirit is here and he desires to show you Jesus. He desires to reveal Jesus to you. For those of you that do have a relationship with Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit to open our spiritual eyes on a daily basis to see where God is at work in us and around us. Otherwise, we become no better than those that were actually stoning Stephen. We can become so hypocritical when our gaze is downward, when our spiritual eyes are not open to see where God is at work. We become hypocritical. We point fingers at others when actually we haven't even examined or we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to do the work, like Andrew was speaking this morning. Do the work inside of us to be able to see what's in our own hearts and see where God is at work around us. Keep the main one, the main thing. But here's Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit, living in constant relationship with Jesus, and it's impacted the way he's lived. Something incredibly interesting. Stephen sees Jesus as standing. This is the only verse. Every other biblical verse that speaks about this picture where the Son of Man is seated at the right hand of God, the Son of Man is seated at the right hand of the Father, it's seated. But here, evidence of the type of relationship that Jesus and Stephen had, Jesus is depicted as standing. How incredible. It's almost like Jesus is standing and he's fighting with Stephen. Well, not fighting, he's standing with Stephen as he's being stoned, as he's being killed, he's standing with him. He's giving him a stand, it's like a standing ovation, getting ready to welcome him home. Friends, do you desire that type of relationship with Jesus? Because can I tell you, this morning, Jesus desires that type of relationship with you and I. He desires that type of relationship with that colleague that you've been trying to invite to church, with that person you think, jeez, no, never, there's no ways. He desires that type of relationship. And the same Holy Spirit that Stephen had access to, we get access to. But friends, we need to want, we need to desire, and then we need to chase after this kind of relationship. But we're human. We get distracted. We, by life's problems, we become bogged down. We lose sight of Jesus and keeping the main one, the main thing. It happens just like this. It's easy. We're human. We need the Holy Spirit. Living in relationship with Christ, living like Christ, requires the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to come and empower and give us a desire to want the living relationship with Jesus. He wants to come and empower us to wake up that little bit earlier, to spend time in his presence, to spend time in his word. And then he wants to come and bring that God's word to life. He wants to come and reveal Jesus to us as we read throughout Scripture, Old, New Testament. He wants to reveal Jesus to us. He wants to come and lead and guide as those moments of pressure arise and our natural instinct, our natural response might be one of anger or bitterness. He wants to come and lead and guide as we imitate Christ, because living like Christ requires the Holy Spirit. And he wants to answer your questions. He wants to give you answer to your doubts. But we need to open up to him doing so. Because can I tell you, we are the only people that can stop the work of the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit and say, no, I don't actually want you to go there. Or I don't want you to do this. We need to be open. We need to let the Holy Spirit do this. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to keep the main one, the main thing. We're not going to be able to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Are you willing to let him come and do what he needs to? Because Jesus spoke about the role of the Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 13 to 15. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, this is Jesus speaking, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. I remember sitting in Hadrian and Taryn's lounge, one of the eldership couples here in the life of the church, and we were doing a youth alpha. And basically what an alpha course is it explores 10 sort of big questions, or it's 10 sessions around life and faith. And there's a short little video that plays, and then you have a discussion around what was shared in the video, and this was specific to youth. But I can't remember exactly which topic it was, but I remember, for those that have watched The Passion of the Christ, that scene where Jesus is up on the cross, his hands are nailed to the cross, the crown of thorns is on his head, and he's gashed, his body is split open, I mean, he's bleeding. It's quite a gory picture. But that picture display, it was there for about 5 seconds on the video. And I remember feeling like the Holy Spirit came upon me in that moment. And I remember feeling the words, this is the real Jesus. The Jesus that has done this for you. Now, I'd been a Christian for many years. But not for the first time, but it was just sort of the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus in a new and intimate way. And actually, it was also one of these moments where you realize, hang on, yes, he's done this for me, but this is not, okay, cool, he's done it for me, I'm safe, I'm good, I don't know about you. It was actually, this is the real Jesus that's done it for me, and he's including me in his mission to see this gospel, see this message of good news extended to a whole lot of other people. He's done it for others as well. And here's Stephen, a man looking to Jesus. He's looking to Jesus through the help of the Holy Spirit, but he's also understanding that, hey, listen, these people that are stoning me, Jesus died for them as well. Jesus wants to extend this forgiveness to them as well. And he's proclaiming Jesus as God right up until the end of his life with the same vigor, the same fervor that he had been. We don't know how long Stephen had been a Christian. There's not much about his background before we get introduced to him as one of the 7 chosen. But he was fired up through the help of the Holy Spirit, because living like Christ requires the Holy Spirit. Are we looking to Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father? Or are we possibly looking to what's easiest right now? Responding in an argument with what we think someone needs to hear, getting our point across, looking to what's easiest now ourselves. Possibly shifting our goal in a situation, in an argument, to trying to understand the other side, to trying to win the argument. Looking to what's easiest now, looking to ourselves. When criticism comes our way, are we quickly trying to build up a defense that goes on the attack, or trying to protect ourselves instead of taking it before God? When life's worries, when the anxiety of life and being overwhelmed with life's hardships comes our way, are we switching off, sitting, scrolling, trying to escape our problems, possibly trying to get it under control? Let me do this in my own strength. If I just get that under control, then that'll fall in place, and that trying to make these plans. Or we're coming before God in prayer and saying, Holy Spirit, lead, guide, strengthen. Because living like Christ requires the Holy Spirit. Living in relationship with Christ requires the Holy Spirit. Acts 7, verse 59 to 60. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. How incredible that Stephen's life ends the same way he had lived it, in complete surrender and trust in Jesus Christ. My second point is that surrender changes the way we live and how we respond. This is not a surrender, wave the white flag, give up. Jesus, you take the wheel. Holy Spirit, you just do it. This is a surrender to Jesus. It's a surrender to the Holy Spirit in helping us keep Jesus at the forefront of everything we are doing. In his final moments, Stephen entrusts his life to Jesus and then extends forgiveness to those that are stoning him. This is a picture of an incredibly surrendered life. This mirrors Jesus. Jesus said these two words, well, these two statements as well, in some way or another. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he said, Lord, do not hold the sin against them. He obviously said it in different words. But these two statements mirror what Jesus had to say while he was up on the cross. This isn't Stephen entrusting his life, giving his life over, putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ right at the end just because he's dying. Stephen had lived a life full of faith in complete surrender. This is Stephen saying, my time has come. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Everything earthly was being taken away from Stephen. His life was being taken away from him, but he understood that his salvation could not be taken away. I don't know about you, but that stirs up an incredible amount of faith that we can get to live like this. The same Holy Spirit that empowered Stephen to live like this can empower us to live the same way. Living like Christ requires the Holy Spirit. And it's that same Spirit that begins to transform how we respond to others. Stephen doesn't call down judgment upon the people that are stoning him in anger and frustration. He extends forgiveness. Why? Because Stephen understood that first and foremost, I've been forgiven. That it's through God's grace that I've been forgiven. But then he also understood something else. That it was not just for him. Christ had gone up onto that cross, even for the people that were stoning him. Living like Christ requires the Holy Spirit. There's no ways that Stephen is this kind of person outside of God. There's no ways that without the help of the Holy Spirit, Stephen could have uttered these words. And there's no way you and I can live a life like this, to this extreme, without the help of the Holy Spirit. Something even more incredible. If you look back to verse 58, Acts 7, verse 58. It says, and they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says, Saul approved of the killing. And then we see he would go on and he would continue to persecute Christians and kill Christians. But for those of you that don't know, this Saul would meet and encounter Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, have his life radically changed, and he would become Paul. Paul, who would be chosen by God to take his gospel to the Gentiles, to the people that were outside of God's chosen people. And up until that point, the gospel had been taken to Jewish people. And now God chooses Paul, the man who was Saul, standing at the feet of Stephen being killed to take his gospel to those that are not Jewish. And he would plant churches and he would write much of what is now known as the New Testament, all those letters. And Stephen's words echo, do not hold the sin against them. Lord, do not hold the sin against them. This prayer would in some way be answered when Saul would become Paul and the gospel radically changed his life. Stephen would not have known that. Definitely not. But through the help of the Holy Spirit, he prays, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Living like Christ requires the Holy Spirit. Do you this morning desire to allow the Holy Spirit to enable you to go out and share the gospel with those that are yet to hear it?
Those that are yet to place their faith and trust in Jesus? Do you desire to really let the Holy Spirit open your eyes to see people, to really see people the way God sees them that are yet to place their faith and trust in Jesus? Do you desire to allow the Holy Spirit to help you extend forgiveness to those that in our own strength we would never want to forgive? I heard an incredible story about a young teenage boy who got invited by a friend, or probably an acquaintance at the time. This young boy had quite a reputation at school, but he was invited to this youth event, and he encountered Jesus. His life began to radically change. Now, he lived with his dad, and his dad was quite abusive, an alcoholic, and so the lifestyle that this boy lived sort of mirrored that. And he got a reputation at school for a party life, but this radical change began to be evident as he got involved in the youth group, as he got involved in a Bible study group, and he was serving on a Sunday. And I mean, his dad was probably questioning, jeepers, this guy's asking for lifts on a Tuesday, on a Friday, and on a Sunday. And this dad started to see this radical change in this boy, and eventually the boy invited him to a men's camp. And the dad meets Jesus, radically changed, and eventually over some time, the Holy Spirit stirs up a desire for this dad to get involved in prison ministry. And the leader of the church there was telling me this story, was saying he's got ex-convicts. I mean, this was months, years later. He's got ex-convicts in the life of his church that are sharing about what God is doing through them and in them. Lives completely and radically changed as a result of one boy being obedient through the help of the Holy Spirit inviting this other boy to church. And then through the help of the Holy Spirit, that boy inviting his dad. And then the Holy Spirit stirring up a desire in the dad to go and lead prison ministry. And the Holy Spirit radically changing convicts' lives. Friends, this morning, do you desire to allow the Holy Spirit to use you to see his gospel reach the ears of those that may not have heard, or those that are yet to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? These words ultimately, I'm going to land with this. These words ultimately reflect Jesus' words up on the cross. In Luke 23, verse 34, it says, Jesus said, he's up on the cross now, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Here's Jesus hanging on the cross. He's about to breathe his last, and he asks his Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus hanging on the cross, friends, is one of the world's biggest injustices. Beaten, humiliated, mocked, left to die in one of the most cruel, inhumane ways possible. And here he is, not breathing down fire from heaven and judgment. He's asking his Father to forgive them. In the very act of their sin, he says, forgive them. But here's something even more interesting. That forgive them may seem like he's forgiving the religious leaders that dragged him before Pontius Pilate. A sinless, blameless man found no fault with him. Or the Roman soldiers. Or Judas even. But in actual fact, it was each and every single one of us. Each and every single one of us. Jesus' death only happened because of us. All of us. And it's only Jesus who extends forgiveness. The sinless, perfect sacrifice. He became sin. A perfect man who lived a perfect, sinless life. Took upon the sin. In fact, it says the Father actually turned his back. God and sin don't mingle. Romans says it. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ took that death. And Stephen understood this. That's why his prayer was, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Jesus, do not hold the sin against them. Friends, you can only extend this kind of forgiveness when you first received forgiveness like that.
Because living like Christ, living in relationship with Christ, requires the Holy Spirit. This is good news. We get access to the same Holy Spirit that Stephen had access to. That next level elite Christian. The only thing that he had was the Holy Spirit, actually. And that was enough to keep his eyes fixed on Jesus, to show him every day what Jesus had done for him, so that he could lay down his cross and chase after what God had for him and what God wanted for him. Do you desire that type of relationship with Jesus here this morning? I wonder if we can all close our eyes. Father God, thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for giving me your Son. That through my faith, when I place my faith and trust in you, I'm made right. That when God looks at me, he sees Jesus and Jesus' sacrifice. That is through nothing I've done. It's a gift and I want to accept it. We get to accept it. And I pray that as we leave this place, Holy Spirit, won't you come? Holy Spirit, won't you come and fill us afresh this morning? Fill us afresh to go out with a boldness and a courage to go and proclaim the gospel in the way we live our lives and the decisions that we make. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us afresh. Reveal Jesus in new and intimate ways. Pray this all in your precious name. Amen.